Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride, and welcome to the program. Today I am so excited about this show. We've been talking now for months, and it was interesting when I first decided to create Hourglass Brides. I wanted to create a program and really a hub and a resource and a center where you were receiving information that you couldn't find anywhere else. And it was information that you needed to be able to really make that happily ever after and that dream come true. And when I started making a list of the type of guests and the type of shows that I wanted to bring you, this guest was actually at the very top of my list. He was the very first person that I wanted to bring you. And what I actually think is the most important element of the wedding, which is being present and actually being there. And so many people miss their wedding. They miss that special day simply because their consciousness, their body, their spirit, their soul, they're not aligned and they're not present and they're not there. And the same for those of you who have been in relationships for 25 years that are listening to this show to deepen your relationship, or those of you who have been married two or three times and you're starting over again and this time you want to make this different. And so what is the tool, what is the technique to being present with the person that you're with and the surroundings around you? And so today's guest is Dr. Paul Sheely. And Paul was on our show, Unlimited Life, last week. We had an amazing show and just an amazing response to everything that he said. And he really is, when I talk about the people that I adore, that I love, that are my mentors, that are my personal heroes, Paul Sheely is really somebody that I look up to, that I've learned so much, and so much of what I'm able to bring to you today is because of his work and how much I've learned from him. So Paul founded the Sheely Learning Systems as a worldwide forum for organizations and for individuals to discover the resources within thorough transformational learning experiences. He is the founding partner of Learning Strategies, which is a premier publishing of human development programs. His work includes, listen to this, over 50 programs relating to professional and personal development and success. His work has been translated in more than 15 languages, and it's been purchased by enthusiastic clients in 185 countries. And that's why it's always so exciting for me as well, because this show is airing in all these different countries. It doesn't matter if you're in Malta, if you're in France, if you're in South Africa, and you're listening to the show right now. Here is a guest whose work is actually working in 185 countries and 15 languages. He is also the author of the best-selling books Photo Reading, which we talked about last week, which is just an amazing technique, Natural Brilliance, and Drop Into Your Genius. He earned his PhD in leadership and change. He has a master's degree in learning and human development technologies. He has a Bachelor of Science degree in biology, and his incredible rich background includes studies of neurolinguistic programming, accelerated learning, and preconscious programming. He is now the CEO of Sheely Learning Systems, and he has influenced organizations with his work with problem solving, creativity, communications, accelerated learning, and leadership development. And as a CEO of two organizations and as a consultant, he really teaches people how to overcome challenges. And his bio goes on and on and on as his life and his skills and his genius and his brilliance. But I know that I've seen Paul and had the opportunity to witness Paul on stage and teach. And as a host, as a guest, as a teacher, as a leader, nobody can excite an audience the way that Paul can. Nobody can teach an audience the way that Paul can. And the difference between Paul and other mentors and other teachers and other leaders is not only is the joy in which he teaches and how much fun you have when you're with him, but the retention. I mean, I can tell you things that I've heard Paul say years ago, almost verbatim, because what he says and the way he says it penetrates me in such a way that I understand it completely in my consciousness and spirit and soul. And so he'll talk about accelerated learning as well. So I am so excited, and truly I think the most important guest that we've had to today, because if you're not present on your wedding, then that day that you've dreamt of your whole life finally arrives, and if you're not there for it completely, then what happens to the dream? So welcome today, Dr. Paul Sheely. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole. What a pleasure to be here on the Hourglass Bride. It's so such a remarkable topic, and I was so in celebration for you when you came up with the idea and you dedicated your time and your energy and your wisdom to presenting such a phenomenal resource. I have to agree with you that anytime a person is making an important transition in their life, they want to transition into something which is more spectacular than what they've had up until now. And that's what weddings can do. We really can set up our lives to be fantastic. And why not be fully present? Why not have all of our resources fully available to us? And let's enjoy it to the max.
Oh, that's so true. It's so great. And so why do you think that people miss the day? That, you know, people show up. And I cannot tell you, I have been interviewing people for years now. I started working with this bridal program back in 1995, and we've interviewed people all over the world. And so many times they'll say, I don't remember my way. I don't remember the day. Like, it was, you know, I don't remember who was there. I don't, you know. And that amazes me, something that you've dreamt of since you were 4 or 6 or 7 or 8, and the day finally arrives, and you don't even remember what it was like.
Mm. Well, there certainly are a bunch of reasons why that happens. And, you know, when we look at memory, if we just look at the neurological and psychological basis for memory, remembering an experience like this is called episodic memory. It's a type of memory. And how we are able to experience an episode and remember it so profoundly is when we are having strong emotions with it. Unfortunately, so many people are nervous, not only about the event coming off right, but that they get their vows right, that they look right, that they're that they remember people's names when they see them, you know, and all of that. There's just so much stress that people have about the performance. And Nicole, honestly, you know what it's like when somebody is afraid of getting up in front of public to say anything, to
yes.
give a speech. It's, aside from many types of death, it's the number one fear of people in this country, is getting up in front of a group of people. So just paint this scenario with all kinds of cognitive stress on it. And what studies and research has shown is that when you're under cognitive stress, your perception becomes narrowed. It's like you put on flight blinders and you're looking through a little tunnel. You get tunnel vision. Your attention shifts. Your thinking, your decision-making, your memory, it all narrows down. So it's like you're looking at the world through a little straw. And it doesn't have to be that way. And with a couple of very simple techniques that we're going to be able to explore in your show today, we'll make sure that people are very present. They have a full panoramic experience with their heart, their mind wide open.
That's just fantastic. That's just amazing. And that's what, you know, everybody hopes for. And so when I'm thinking about you saying that the fear of public speaking is the number one fear, and I honestly had never thought about that and related that to a wedding. I truly, you know, when people, I think about that, people say, oh, my parents got divorced when they were 5 and this is the first time they're going to see each other. Or I'm afraid that, you know, my fiancé's best friend is going to make a fool out of himself and gives a best man speech, or whatever their fears are. And there's usually a very long list of fears when we talk to our brides.
Yeah. Yeah. But
standing up in front of people, I had never really thought about that as a fear. And I guess it's true. That really is a huge fear for so many people.
Well, not only that, you may know that I actually wrote my second book called Natural Brilliance, and the opening and closing story is about my panic of getting up in front of a group. I took a Toastmasters club. I joined one in order to learn to give presentations or to lead a group in silent prayer or something. You know, I really didn't like public speaking. You ever sat in a circle and you have to say your name and where you're from and what you do? And man, the closer that it comes to you to have to say your name, you can feel your heart pounding and everything else. Well, a lot of people have a tremendous amount of fear around that, and it really shuts them down. But I like your list of fears, because just any fear, doesn't matter what it's about, but any anticipation of the future in which something bad could happen, that's what creates cognitive stress. And again, what cognitive stress does, it just cranks down on everything in your brain to the point where you're just surviving the experience, and that's about it. So I would like to talk briefly about something called neuro-linguistic programming, because it's the basis for how we can actually program our minds to encounter something like this and be very resourceful. Should we get into that?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Okay, so think about this. Anxiety is an emotion about the future. It's not about now. See, if you just become aware of yourself right now, where you're sitting, you have no thoughts about the past, no thoughts about the future, but just right now, you recognize you're okay. The only time that you're not okay is when you flash to some pending event in the future that you're worried about, or some past event that you feel badly about. So guilt is an emotion about the past. Anxiety is an emotion about the future. You can't feel either of those in the now. So let me explain this idea of in the now. If right now where you're sitting or driving or whatever you're doing, listening to this, just become aware of your shoulders and see if you can let your shoulders drop a little bit. And just see if you can let your facial muscles relax, your jaw relax a little bit. And see if you can feel the flow of your breath in your nostrils right now. And if you can feel that breath, just the touch of the air passing through the nostrils as you inhale and exhale, you have to be in the present moment. You can't have a present moment experience and be in the future or in the past. So this amazing thing, and your breath is with you all the time, right? So there's this amazing capacity for anybody, anywhere, wherever they are, to realize they're okay by simply being aware of the flow of the breath in their nostrils. The other thing that this does is it opens up and relaxes your brain and your body. You see, the breath is an invisible link between the two. See, if your mind's agitated, your breathing is going to shift and your body's going to get agitated. Or if your body is going through something stressful, it's going to agitate your breath and your mind is going to go into stress. But if you breathe and you just let that breath flow without any pauses or breaks in it, so that the inhale and exhale are about the equal length, then your body and your mind will both instantly go into a place of equanimity or balance. So it's an amazing thing. Just using the breath immediately influences both the brain and the body. But now let's talk about, first of all, let me ask if there are any questions about any of that.
No, I love that feeling, just, you know, when you're talking about just breathing through your nostrils and just feeling that air. It's such a simple thing that anybody can do.
Yes. And it immediately influences the oldest part of our brain. It's called the reptilian complex, and it's designed to help protect us to feel physically safe. And if we're not breathing properly, I mean, think of it. If I close your nose, pinching your nose with my fingers right now, Nicole, and I cover your mouth so that you can't breathe, how long is it going to be before you are really kicking to get away?
Right.
You know, very short order. But we don't realize how we're actually doing that to ourselves all the time, especially when we're going into a stressful situation, we start breathing very shallowly. We're not getting the breath we need. Have you ever heard somebody kind of talk like this?
Yes.
Because they're trying to breathe in their chest, and it's very inefficient. It produces the cane group of hormones, cortisol, adrenaline, norepinephrine. It immediately puts these stress hormones in the body. So you see, the breath is linked to all kinds of things. So very neat. It feels good to breathe, but it instantly puts you into this place where you're okay.
It's, I just want to interrupt you for just a second. I'm loving this. But when you are sharing about these parts of your brain, I just have to tell you that I had the opportunity to witness you do this presentation on the different parts of the brain. And Paul, that was my favorite presentation ever. I mean, I've never laughed that hard and learned so much at the same time. And so it's interesting that as you're saying, as what you're sharing right now, right away the images come back to me of your teaching and everything that you said, which is really just so spectacular. So I just wanted to share.
Imagine, just imagine wearing a little hat that looks like a turtle, right? And when the turtle is happy, it's basking. You know, it's just laid out in the sun. And when the turtle is afraid, it's pulling its head back in the shell. And so that part of our brain, that reptilian complex, that oldest part of our brain, it's the fight or flight. It's the part of us which is oriented toward feeling physically safe. You got to pay attention to it. The second part of the old brain is called the mammalian complex or the limbic system. And that mammalian complex, think of a cat. You know, when a cat's really happy, it's purring, right? Kind of patting you with its little hands. But boy, as soon as that cat's angry, you know, it's going to be putting its claws out, making sure. Well, the mammalian complex is in charge of emotional safety. So if a person isn't feeling emotionally safe and physically safe, boy, our old brain just goes haywire. And talk about stress. That's what starts shutting down a lot of our higher thinking functions, which is what we want available for us on our wedding days, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so let's, now that you get the idea of the breathing, and I'll bring you into the present moment, now let me tell you about this very simple technique, which is recorded on one of my paraliminal recordings, which we've talked about a little bit. It's called anxiety free. Okay, anxiety is an emotion about the future. You can't feel it now. You can only project yourself into a future situation where you think things aren't going to work out. This is actually the basis of phobias, by the way. You can actually produce a phobia by imagining a terrible scenario in the future. Some people have phobias of birds and spiders and snakes. Some have phobias of bridges and airplanes. It's very interesting. Having worked with a lot of phobias and a lot of different people over the years, I can tell you it's very simple to overcome it. It takes a matter of a few seconds. But the basis of it is this concept, Nicole. It's the idea that the only way you can feel anxiety sitting here right now is if you imagine a future scenario that you're in, and you're in it with your full body, your full mind, you're living the experience, and things are a mess. Things are falling apart. Things are dangerous either emotionally or physically for you. Everything in your body is going to go into anxiety. Why? Because it's trying to get you to get away from there. You don't want to go into that scenario. Now, the way to completely obliterate anxiety, it's so simple. What you do is you imagine the event having already been successfully completed. Now, this sounds weird, especially when you think about weddings, right? You want to imagine the event. No. For this part of it, you want to imagine the event having already been successfully completed. You've lived through it. It went fabulous. Everything went great. You're on your way to your honeymoon. You're having a great honeymoon, right? And you're smiling and happy and just reflecting back on how fabulously it went. In other words, imagine you could lift up off of your life's timeline, float out into the future on the timeline when the successful wedding is already completed. Now float down into that event and realize it's done, it's completed, it was gorgeous, everyone loved it, you had a fabulous time, you and your spouse are so excited. Now when you look back from that future place, you look at all the things that went well in order for that to occur. The catering was great, the music was fabulous, the people, all the guests showed up, they were all happy, they had a wonderful time. You don't have to figure out how it happened. Just have to recognize that it did. Now, when you are there feeling that, feel the feeling that you're imagining, how wonderful that feels, how open you feel in your chest, your abdomen, in your face, there's a smile, your breathing is beautiful, you're sitting up, your shoulders are back, you feel fabulous. Now bring that feeling back to the present moment and let it land in your body right here and now. There isn't a bone of anxiety anywhere in you. You are anxiety free.
Wow.
Does that make sense in terms of working with the mind and how the thinking mind works?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's so incredible. Your word, it's so genius. It really is. It opens you up and it frees you in a whole other way. It's when you were talking about the other day about when you're standing and you're only looking at the little space around your feet compared to the space in a football field, and it frees you in such an expansive way.
Well, this is the difference between the conscious and the non-conscious mind, okay? The non-conscious mind is a database that's huge. It's 10 billion to one what your conscious mind carries. But our whole lives, we've been trying to make our lives work with our conscious mind. And when really wonderful things happen, bizarre coincidences where everything works out miraculously well, that's not the doing of your conscious mind, it's the doing of your non-conscious mind. Because while your conscious mind sets a goal, your non-conscious mind finds the best ways and means to have it happen. So it's important that you establish what it is you want and don't worry so much about how it's going to happen. When you decide what it is, it's your creative mind, your non-conscious mind, this 10 billion to one more vast part of your mind that's going to figure it out. So the analogy I used last week on our show was this idea that if you look down at your feet, and you see the circle that your feet's standing on, maybe 12-inch circle, right? That's the database of your conscious mind. Your non-conscious mind, more than a football field, Nicole, it's 11 miles across.
Oh.
11 miles of resource, and it's all yours. You own it free and clear. Now, you understand this because you've been living in that realm and connected to this amazing resource all of your life. But there's so many people that were raised with the idea that we're victims of the world we see. The world is a dangerous place to be. Things can go wrong. And we start living with those kinds of programs. Then what happens is all these fears. See, if I set a goal right now, I'm going to have this successful event coming up in the future. If I set that goal right now, I've immediately established all kinds of things that have to happen. I have to have so many details in place in order for that to occur. And it's really easy for my conscious mind to start freaking out and thinking, well, how's that going to happen? I remember, you know my wife Libby quite well, so she and I have been married now for 36 years, and I remember anybody who can survive their wedding is probably going to do pretty well because there's so many decisions you got to make together and you've never really made before, right? It's just bizarre how many things are on the list that have to actually be decided on. And so what the conscious mind will do naturally, if it sees a gap between where I am right now and that goal out there in the future, brings up this big wall of fears that I have to get past. Like, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And remember, that's what my conscious mind is designed to do. So we have to outrun that and go to the far end of it. Go to that place in the future where it's already worked out, and then look back from there to see all the things that went well. Then when we come back to the present moment, we can say, okay, so let's head into it. You know, now I know what I need to check off the list, and I'll trust that the people who are helping me with this are going to do all their jobs. I'm not going to have to worry about that.
I love that. And I just wanted to touch really quickly, because we have, you know, many listeners that were not, you know, with us last week when we were on the Unlimited Life show. And so can you just quickly share what a paraliminal is for those that this is a new word for?
Yeah, paraliminal recording is a concept that I developed back in the late 1980s. It was actually the first early protocols of those recordings were done in 1980 and 1981, but the first commercially available were in 1988. And a paraliminal, I'm actually speaking to you in both ears simultaneously with separate messages, one to your left brain, which is the very logical, sequential, step-by-step part of your brain, and the right brain, which is that creative, holistic part. And the message to the right brain is encouraging you to integrate and learn from the steps that you're taking. And the left brain is getting a step-by-step process that you will go through to get where you want to go. And so they're very unique in terms of the experience. They're digitally recorded. They're originally scored music, and the right brain has kind of a metaphor in it, and the left brain has a step-by-step process in it. They're very relaxing. They're really lovely, and we've sold over 2 million copies of these around the world, as you mentioned earlier, 185 countries. So it's a very successful set of programs. Each one is about 20 minutes in average. And the one, Anxiety Free, actually has two recordings on that. That are a part of that. And so what paraliminal technology does, which is very different than, you know, most programs you'd go to listen to someone speaking to you, because most of the other programs are telling you what to do and how to behave. Like, I'll give you this advice and you got to do this now. These are very different. What they do is they recognize the genius in you, and they bring you to that place of the infinite resourcefulness that's in you. In other words, I put you in touch with that 11 miles of resource that's there that will allow you to be fully present, to be able to get up in front of people, to smile, to be able to remember the event, to remember and have your whole heart open, and to live into this future with your whole heart in it. And that's, it's such a beautiful thing when people realize that it's already within them. If they have the goal, if they have imagined themselves with the goal already attained, then it's already within them to be able to realize it.
That's beautiful. I'm writing that down. It's something I've not heard you say before. And the idea that each one of us, that a seed that we have or a thought that we have can be a realized dream, is such a fabulous concept and truth. And I love that, especially for this show, because every single marriage was a dream at one point. Somebody
Absolutely.
Made a wish and said, you know, that they were looking for their partner, their ultimate mate, that happily ever after, that person, you know, to sweep them off their feet, or to have a family or a future or life, or to share their visions and their hopes and their dreams and whatever that thought was, and now this moment is in front of them.
Mm-hmm. And why not be there for it, right?
Right. So I absolutely love that. Now, the technique that you're sharing, the anxiety-free or how to be able to be present, is it something that people should practice before they get married, or can they just do it on their wedding day, or once you learn how to do it, can you do it in other moments in your life and all of that?
Yes, a couple of things to think about. First of all, anyone can do this. You can do it anytime with any pending event, with anything that's coming up in the future. My recommendation is to do this. For example, I would teach this to students who are getting ready for a final exam that they're going to go into. And what this does is it makes sure that all of the resources that will help you successfully experience and accomplish it are going to be fully available to you when the event emerges. And I used this when I was going to be on CBS Up to the Minute News live from New York City, right? It's one of those shows where, you know, the newscasters in one panel and the interviewee is in the other panel and you see it on TV, right? And it was going to be on Up to the Minute News. And so here I am in Minnesota looking into the lens of a camera with a big postcard of Minneapolis behind me. You know, you've seen those things on TV, right, on the news shows?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, so there I was, right? I'm looking into the camera, and I'm kind of joking around with the interview and saying, yeah, is there any spinach in my teeth here? You know, leaning in. And all of a sudden, the director of the show says, all right, 15 seconds, gentlemen. And at the moment that that person said that, my heart started pounding. I looked down at my chest. My necktie was flopping and flapping on my chest.
Wow.
Thinking, oh, my gosh. And I realized this isn't fear. This is excitement. This isn't fear. This is excitement. And it was so wonderful to realize that this is what I've been dreaming about. It's coming to pass right now. So when people stand up and they're ready to say their vows and they feel their heart pounding, it's not, oh my gosh, I'm going to pass out from fear. No, I'm so excited. Look into this person's eyes. Listen to the words that are being spoken. Let me repeat them with my whole heart. And that's what anxiety-free allows you to do. When you project yourself into the future, see the positive things already happening in your mind. And what your non-conscious mind does, then it makes sure that it will happen. It will find the best ways and means to make sure that that occurs. Now, before we're done, I want to give you something else. I'd like to make sure that anybody listening gets the opportunity to hear this. It's called the Heart and Desire Image. I don't want to do it quite yet. I kind of like to leave it to the end of our show. But it's such a powerful thing to remember, and it's a beautiful way to bring all of this together. The thing that I'd really like to share with you, Nicole, is there are a few other things that people can do to make sure that they're really present, if you want to get into those.
Absolutely, please.
Well, realize that our brains are really designed to help us succeed, but they're also hardwired to maintain the status quo. In other words, if things are going well, we don't want to rock the boat. In fact, you know, the Declaration of Independence actually has a very profound bit of writing in it. It says, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they become accustomed. And to translate that, what it means is, you know, we would much rather put up with a problem that's familiar than a solution that's unfamiliar. So when you step out in your life and you say, I'm going to get married to this person, I'm going to shift into a new lifestyle, there is a significant part of our brain that's devoted to saying, now, wait a minute, are you sure? And it will tend to bring up a lot of counterexamples, like what if this bad thing happens? What if that bad thing happens? And so each time an image like that surfaces, rather than thinking, oh, my inner mind is a saboteur, it's just trying to trip me up. No, recognize it, thank it, pat it on the head and say, you can stand down, don't worry. This is what I'm choosing to do. This is the life I'm choosing to create. And when you come from that place of choice, you'll recognize this amazing leveling up of your self-concept, your self-esteem, and your self-confidence. When you feel like, oh, the world's pressuring me to do this sort of thing, then it's easy to give your power away. And that's when we feel powerless. So realize you're in charge of your life. And when you're making a decision, really own it. Because when you do, you'll discover that you become stronger in every area of your life. Does this make sense?
It does. So then how do you know when you're making a decision if you really want to do something and you really, you know, want to take this trip or you really... whether it's your ego or your intuition and your subconscious or your conscious, how do you know which part of you is talking to you at that moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, we like to talk about this internal guidance system that's within us. And it really, there's decisions that are made based on values that you hold. And there's decisions that you make based on feelings of insufficiency. Like, I'm not safe enough, so I'm going to make this decision because I don't feel very safe. Well, that's a decision made on insufficiency, so that's your ego talking. Well, I don't know if people are going to like it. What will they say about it? That's the ego that's devoted to the mammalian complex. That's the part of us that wants to feel that it belongs, that it's loved, and that it's appreciated. So if you're making a decision based on what others might say, then that's a decision based on insufficiency. If you make the decision based on what it is that you're choosing to create, because this is where your heart is, this is what you're truly choosing to create, think about the goal that you truly desire. Think about the life that you truly desire to create. Is it good for you and all concerned? Is this going to let the best of you come forward, then that's going to be a decision that's based on the value of bringing the fullness of you out into the world. You see, if you knew that you could not fail at your life, and I ask, if you knew you could not fail, what would you then choose to do or be to bring your highest and best out into the world? Then that is a decision based on values, not on insufficiencies. And you know, even this brain of ours, the neocortex, doesn't think it's thin enough or smart enough or pretty enough or whatever, right? It's just not enough. And if we're making our decisions based on that feeling, again, of insufficiency, then we're really not letting our values come out. So sometimes when we're pressured into making a decision, we might make a decision based on one of those insufficiencies. And the greatest thing that we can do, Nicole, and I know you've probably done this plenty of times in your life, you say, you know, this is an important decision. I'm going to need to take this home and think about it overnight. Can I get back to you in the morning about this? And then you get to take it home and you get to quiet the mind. You get to do that breathing technique and just tune into your body and say, is this what I truly desire? Is this harmonious with what I'm really choosing to create in my life? And you'll know, just as clearly as you'll know if someone speaks your name. It's that same kind of resonance, that feeling that everything lines up and that this is what it is that you truly desire. It's not a decision made out of fear or that you're rushed or pressured or that it's what somebody else wants. Because if you make a decision, if you don't decide, then it will still come to pass. Somebody's going to decide for you if you don't decide for yourself. So you have the opportunity to decide for yourself every single day, every single moment. And there is an internal guidance system, and it's based on this greater awareness of how powerful and who we really are. And to me, that's probably the best way that I can phrase it, Nicole. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And then when you're making those kind of decisions, sometimes you do, though, know automatically and instinctually, right, that it's absolutely the right choice. And, you know, so when somebody proposes and somebody says yes, they have an internal knowingness that this is the right answer. And they knew it even before the, you know, the proposal happened, correct?
Yes. You know, and Libby has told, my wife, Libby has told you the story, Nicole, that she walked into a party at the dorm that we were both living in the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota. She saw me at the end of the room sitting in a chair, and a voice said, "This is the man you're going to marry." I mean, it was that instantaneous for her. It almost made her jump back a little bit. And I always tease. I say, yeah, I was practicing ventriloquism that night. "This is the man you're going to marry." And she's the only one who fell for it.
That's funny. That's so funny. My father proposed to my mother on the first date.
Wow.
And, you know, she said yes. And they said they knew. They just,
yeah.
My dad said that my mom had a heart that he had never seen that, and that he knew that he would never meet anybody that could love that way. And she said that he made her laugh and was so charming, and that she knew no matter what happened in life, if he could make her smile like that, that they could get through anything. And they just knew. And they just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and they're, you know, so incredibly still in love.
Beautiful.
And so I love when, you know, you talk about that internal guidance system and something inside of you directs you, and also when you have a trepidation that you stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're saying that, you know, you take some time and you go home and you ask yourself and you ask. I worked for many years for a timeshare company, and I would take people on the tours. And so I wasn't the person, and I would tell people all the time that, because they would make little pinky swears before they got there, leave their credit cards at home, that, you know, they were not buying a timeshare. The only reason they were going to, you know, do this timeshare presentation was for the free dinner or the food or the weekend or whatever was being promised to them for showing up. And I would tell people when they met me, "I don't have a real estate license. I can't tell you anything. I'm actually just here to spend time with you. And what do you do?" And the guy would say, "I fly F-14s. And I would say, "Great, I'm a writer. Teach me about F-14s. Mm-hmm. And the minute people were in their heart, I'd ask how they met and their stories and their lives and their children. And at the end of the time that I was with them, they knew whether this was something that was going to improve their life or not, or something that they wanted, or just either way, because they were so in their heart and nothing was being pushed at them, and there wasn't any clarity, and I wasn't selling anything. I was just sharing time and experience and my life and walking around a beautiful place. And so, you know, but you have that occasional person that says, "I really need to go home and I really need to think about this." And, you know, and I used to love that and respect that so much, that when people take time to listen to their heart and to find their heart and to find their wisdom and to find their center. And, that, you know, just as you were saying, that it's as clear as their name being said, that you know what's right for you and what the calling of that heart is. And so, and I want to make sure, Paul, that people can find you and that they can get the Genius program so they can practice and that they can learn all about your other accelerated learning courses. So can you tell us how we can reach out to you?
Yes. You can go to SheelyLearning.com, and it's SCHEELE, SheelyLearning.com. And there is a section in there about products, and people can look at what's available there. And there's another way you can get this information, and also one of the this little visualization that I recommend we do before we finish up today. It's in a book. This whole idea about breathing, the whole idea about tapping into our genius abilities is in my book, Drop Into Genius. And if you go to dropintogenius.com, then you'll be able to actually see a free chapter of that book. And by the way, in that book, there's a description of the photo reading course. It actually teach you how to read a book through the palm of your hand, which is completely mind-blowing, a lot of fun. There's a very short chapter. It's how to meditate like a master in 3 minutes. So you're going to learn to go so deeply into this beautifully present state, and it only takes 3 minutes to be able to do it. So even while you're waiting at a traffic light, you can go into a profound state of relaxation. So check out dropintogenius.com. It's also on the website for Shealy Learning, but if you don't remember how to spell my name, you could at least do Drop Into Genius.
But go ahead and spell it for us just so we have it, just people that are going to the website.
Yeah, it's S-C-H-E-E-L-E, S as in Shealy, S as in Sam, right? ShealyLearning.com.
I love that. And I love this technique of being able to be present on your wedding. And as I was saying at the top of the show, that when I created Hourglass Bride, and I was really thinking about the dream body, the dream day, the fairy tale, the happily ever after, and I sat down and, you know, and as you're saying, go, you know, past it until when it's already created and it's already happened. And I wrote down the guests that I was going to interview and the shows that I wanted to bring to people and the information that I wanted to bring to people. And this was at the very top of the list because I truly can't imagine that there's anything more important than being there.
Yes. Let me share a really neat, really great technique. And this, it immediately puts you in your body, it immediately calms your mind, it immediately makes you so present to anything that's happening. What happens so much for all of us is the judgmental mind jumps in. And as soon as we start judging, we immediately separate from others. We separate from ourselves. You know, if we look at, let's say, a bridesmaid, and her hair isn't right, and we think, oh, why didn't she fix her hair, right? Immediately, we're in this place where the judgment has now separated us from them. And it's very difficult to stop the judging mind. I mean, it's virtually impossible. Years of meditation, maybe. But even then, it's what the mind does. So it's better to just direct it in a way that would really serve you. And so what I talk about is suspending judgment and being very present. Being present for the event means being present in your body to the experience you're now having. So here's the technique, and I teach it when I give lectures, when I give big workshops or day-long or retreats. I said, if you ever want to be very present to what somebody is saying, here's what you do. As they are speaking, look at their eyes and their hands simultaneously. So you're visually picking up their eyes and their hands. What are their hands doing? How is it marking things out? What are they, you know, whatever is happening, look at their eyes, look at their hands, while you at the same time are aware of your own hands. And this is a very interesting thing. What this does is it gives you a simultaneous awareness of you and others at a very high level. See, there's three kinds of positions we can have. You could be looking through your eyes at the world. That's first position. You could imagine looking back at you from another person's eyes. That's the idea of walk a mile in another person's shoes. So look at yourself through their eyes, right? That's called second position. And then there's third position. Imagine you could see the whole context, the whole big scene of you and the other person interacting with one another. Like if you were a fly on the wall up there on the ceiling or a little angel looking down on the whole scene. That's third position. So there's first, second, and third perceptual positions. So this little technique, which just takes a moment, puts you in an immediate simultaneous awareness that makes you very present and has you immediately in your full resourcefulness. It makes everything within you as a mature adult fully available to you. And again, very simply, see the other person's eyes and hands as they're speaking while you're simultaneously aware of your own hands. And what that does, there's this lovely calming that occurs. Go ahead.
I'm going to try that today. That's incredible. I love that.
Isn't it?
I mean, that's one of the best techniques I've ever heard. Thank you for that. And then, you know, we only have a couple minutes left on the show. We just have 10 minutes, you know, counting down. Is it possible to still learn that heart and desire image?
Yes, here it is. It's three simple steps, okay?
Okay.
And this is from the work of a teacher of mine named Akhtar Ahsen. It's from a book of his called Hot and Cold Mental Imagery that he wrote in 1999. And it was cited in my book, Drop into Genius, with his permission. And so I'm sharing this with permission to the listener. It's called The Heart and Desire Image. Think of all the desires you have. Think of all the desires you have. And specifically, you know, we can focus this on the wedding experience, right? Think of all the desires you have. Let all these desires come into your mind and let your heart beat with those desires. Again, let all these desires come into your mind and let your heart beat with those desires. Let the world know your desires and let your heartbeat know the world.
Mm.
Go with your desires into the world. Again, I'll do this third step. Let the world know your desires and let your heartbeat know the world. Go with your desires into the world. Now, Nicole, this is such a powerful idea. It's simple. It's profound. It connects you into all the beneficial resources of your body, your mind, your emotions, your spirit. It positions your attention with the ideal in mind. So can I just run through it once more time? One more time real quick?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Please do.
So here it is. Three parts, very simple. Part one, think of all the desires you have.
Yes.
Part two, let all of these desires come into your mind and let your heart beat with those desires. Part three, let the world know your desires and let your heartbeat know the world. Go with your desires into the world.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that's incredible. I just felt such a deep opening in my heart and in my soul. It's almost like a rush, like a waterfall, just pouring through you of light. That's gorgeous. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. That's just beautiful.
The other thing that's so beautiful about this image, it really models everything that we've been talking about throughout our show today. It's this idea that you go to that place in the world where it's already fulfilled. And this is what all the great wisdom traditions have shared with us, is it's your prayer without ceasing. If you see the abundance, if you see the fulfillment, if you see the love being expressed and received, that will come to pass. It will come to pass. And it's not like you have to trust me about this. It's the way it works. And if you think about how your life, whenever it's worked out effectively or successfully, it's because these same principles were playing out.
Just gorgeous. I mean, I'm so, so grateful to have this information and to have you and to have this work and to have this opportunity to share this with the audience and with our listeners. And no matter what stage your relationship is in, if you're just stepping into your wedding and this is your fairy tale come true, this work is for you. If you've been married a couple times and you're ready to start again and this time you want to make it work and you want to know your heart and you really want to be able to project that future and that love that you always knew you were meant to have, then this is for you. And if you've been married for many years and you're looking to deepen your love and deepen yourself and your consciousness and your heart and your relationship, then this work is for you as well. It's for everyone that wants to live the life of their dreams. And really, you know, those fairy tales and those fantasies can come true because they're not fairy tales or fantasies. As you were saying at the top of the show, if somebody's had this dream, it's a dream that's meant to be realized.
Mm-hmm.
And so I absolutely love this work and love the idea of dropping in to your genius and to being present. And really being able to have that special day be a day that you remember forever and that you're there for and that you're there 100% with your heart and your spirit and your soul. And your work to me, Paul, is just so incredible and so precious. And I was sharing yesterday on the show, and I've said this before, and if not in front of you, but, you know, I really believe that, you know, hundreds of years from now, you know, as we look back at Albert Einstein and Galileo and, you know, people that have marked, you know, change in our society and technology and time, and that your work, you know, will be known for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years as a mark and a change of consciousness of this time. And it really is, you know, the impetus for great love and greater understanding and greater everything than unlimited life. And so just so blessed. So thank you so much for being our guest today. And I know that people are going to be excited and reaching out to you and learning this work and learning how to be present. And that was the most beautiful, beautiful way to wrap up a show. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It's my honor and privilege to be here with you, Nicole. And best wishes that every person's dream is fulfilled. It's been said that we're geniuses and we only use 10% of that genius potential. That other 90%, you will gain access to it and you'll be able to use it to its fullest just following these very simple techniques we've played with. Thank you so much, Nicole. Best wishes for the show and all to your listeners.
Thank you so much for your wonderful work. Wow, truly one of the most special, special, special shows that we've ever had, and certainly something we can use in all areas of our life. So there you go, the tool, the technique, the know-how of really how to be present, how to live your happily ever after. So great gratitude to Paul Sheely. And we look forward to seeing you next week. This is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Pride, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.